Please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll. Hi, and welcome to the Pod of No Return. Today, our episode is about casting. Casting is quite a big issue, and for Greg and myself, casting has changed considerably since the start. We have a wonderful guest today, and with our guest, we are going to cast a show, which will be announced later. How are you doing today, Greg?
I am doing just fine. How are you, Jeremy?
Are you sure? I'm good. You know what? I've lost two very good friends this week. Well, tomorrow I'll lose another friend. And what I mean is, I've been friends with Mrs. Maisel for the last four seasons, and she ended our relationship this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm very sad about it, though I will say it was quite the finale. I will give nothing away.
Good, please don't. I have not seen the finale yet.
Magically done, and it was great. Not all finales are created equal. This one was just delivered. It was really sweet.
Was your other friend cool. Succession?
My other friend, no. Ted Lasso.
Oh, don't you Ted. Can't. I haven't seen it yet. You can't tell me.
Ted, don't leave me. No, Ted is tomorrow.
I think I'm still one behind though.
Oh my gosh, it's just the most fantastic show ever.
It's so great.
So I'm very upset that both of them at the same time are gone.
Football is life.
Football is life. Oh my gosh,
Danny Rojas. My son actually said last night. My son said last night he would. He's like, can I get a Danny Rojas jersey? And I'm like, yeah, I think they make those actually. So he's like, I like
they
it.
Do.
Yeah.
But you know, they're on such back order.
Oh, I'm sure.
That poor little store. There you can't get Ted Lasso shirts and you can't get the Wrexham shirts. Do you guys watch that either?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have a Wrexham. What do I have? I have a Wrexham hat and a scarf.
Love it.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get it?
A couple months, probably. The hat was sold out forever, but yeah. They just dropped some new stuff today, actually.
What happened?
The Wrexham. What's his wife? She has a company called Betty Buzz, and I guess she's going to be like a big sponsor. And so they just dropped some of their next year training stuff. And it just came out for sale.
Stop, so
it's probably
some more.
It's probably sold out already.
It's the greatest, man.
I love it.
That show, there's three shows for you. There's three recommendations this week. Mm-hmm. Greg.
Jeremy.
Anything new going on? Do you got any new prospects in life? Something fun happening? Are you kind of kicking around having dinner for the first time in 27 years?
Yeah, kind of kicking around. Spent the Memorial Day weekend with the boy Saturday, Sunday, and we spent time outside because it was beautiful. And then we had some time with the wife and the boy yesterday, which was really nice. Just kind of laying back, trying to get some stuff done. But yeah, how about you? I know you went to a baseball game and possibly had a birthday from what
I had a birthday. I'm finally 29 years
29.
old.
29. It's hard to believe.
It's a weird thing. I'm very scared of 30.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're only 2 years older than me, so it's great.
See, it's perfect. When you get to my age, you'll understand life a lot better there, Greg.
I think I've circled your age already.
Oh, Lord. I did. I had a birthday. My kids took me to the Yankee game, which was really fun. We sat in a section I've never sat in. We sat way in the top in the fourth tier under the awning, and it was glorious.
Nice.
It was the hottest day, and it was so shady up there. I've sat almost everywhere in that field, and that was.
I normally sit in the 400s.
More favorite spots.
Yeah, I normally sit up there.
Yeah, it was in the 400s.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah, right, kind of right behind home plate, and up and out of the way. I like it.
Yep.
Were you at the 10-inning game?
I was at the 10-inning game.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great, and the new rules kind of help it out, where you put the guy in second base and kind of move it along a little bit.
Yeah.
It was the 15-second pitch count really helped. You're already in the sixth inning by 1 hour.
I know, that's great.
We need to put a pitch count on these Broadway shows, man. You go three plus hours, we're going to have to, like, time you out.
Yeah, right.
And I also saw the New York City Ballet this weekend. Of most random thing in the world.
Did you really?
Tickets to the ballet.
Nice.
Yes.
At the ballet.
At the ballet.
Was everything beautiful?
Everything was beautiful at the ballet.
That's what I hear.
You know what I want to be? I want to be a set designer at the New York City Ballet. They have none. It's just blank stage, one light, and then dances. It's the easiest job for the tech guys, I think, ever. I'm saying that as if I've gone to many ballets. They probably have some pretty intricate things going on, but in this particular one, nothing.
Nice.
It was crazy. Yeah, we had some great seats in the second level, which is some circle level with their big wide seats. We have like a terrace. They have two intermissions and coffee and champagne. It was not like any other experience ever. I highly suggest it.
Very
if
cool.
You're into dance at all. All right, we have a very exciting guest today. She is from Phantom. She left our show before we ended, unfortunately, but she left for a great reason, and that was to go to Sweeney Todd. So
never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a new show. I hope it gets legs. But we'd like to welcome Dahlia. Dahlia, how are you doing today?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on and helping us with our quick-witted shenanigans.
I literally couldn't miss it. I couldn't miss it.
You associate director at the Phantom of the Opera.
You were a resident director.
And became, you were a resident director at Phantom of the Opera and became the associate director at Sweeney Todd.
What's next? Master of the Universe? I mean, that's probably
That's right.
There's only
that
one step
seems
left.
Like the logical step up, but it's
I
not.
Think so.
I don't know. What is the next step? I've been writing a lot, and I wrote this like pilot, and I've been writing this musical, and we'll see where we go with that stuff.
Dang.
So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So what Greg and I really want to know is, why is Phantom of the Opera better than Sweeney Todd? Hands down.
I mean, you can narrow it down
what
to like
the reason
the
that,
top
yeah,
20.
You can narrow it down to the
I'm,
exactly.
Yeah.
Why was it just
you know
so
what?
Much
it's
better?
Funny because
you can start with cast. That's fine.
I think about this every single day. Like, you guys don't understand. My brain is constantly like making like comparisons between things, and Sweeney Todd and Phantom of the Opera are like they're sort of in the same like genre almost. Like, it's sort of like gothic, sort of Victorian vibe of musicals. Like, Sweeney Todd came first, so like that style is a little different. What was your question? Which one's better?
No.
Our question was not which one's better. Our question is, why is Phantom better than Sweeney Todd?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so you're putting me in a corner here.
No one puts baby in a corner.
It's not. That's the answer. It's not. Sweeney Todd is perfection, and it's such a great
because,
show. Everyone loves
Sweeney Todd
it.
Was like my Dearly. First musical theater love. Like, I don't even think I liked musical theater before I found Sweeney Todd. And I found that show and I was like, oh, there's something here. Like, this is not the normal, like, la 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 la, whatever. And then once I started working on Phantom, I was like, this is similar. Like, it's not like a normal musical. It's darker, and I feel like, you know, there are dark themes, which I'm interested in.
Yeah. There's murder, baby.
There's murder.
I mean, you don't get a lot of shows like that.
Yeah.
Our show could have used more blood, buckets of blood.
I agree.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Just pouring from the chandelier over the audience.
The wardrobe room would have had a fit. They're like, we have to clean that. Come on.
35 years later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly. Are you enjoying yourself over there? Is it magical? Is it cool?
You must
is it
be.
Everything you expected? Is there surprises?
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I think the thing that I learn every single day is that making art is the same everywhere. Like, it was the same at Phantom. It's the same at Sweeney. Like, it's just a group of people trying to like make something together, and people feel excited and they feel vulnerable and they feel confident sometimes, and sometimes they don't. And like, it's all, it's all the same. It's like the material is different. That's the only sort of thing that's different, which I think is, I don't know, sort of the beautiful thing about theater and art making and all this stuff. So,
yeah.
I feel like you had an unfair go at Phantom where you came in towards the end where we all know the show cold and you're the newbie, but you're also in charge of where we're going. So you had to learn and you learned so fast. You're very detailed and you had it all on an iPad and you just took just so many notes and you were very hard working. It was neat to watch you.
And you didn't have the
when you got the new show.
Yeah. Go for it. Go for it, Jeremy. Greg? No, keep going. Keep going.
Also, when you got the new show, I felt so great for you because you got to start from the beginning and be a part of the process and just know it from that point instead of us telling you, well, no, 15 years ago we were 4 inches this way and I need to know why you want me to
you said it, not me, Jeremy, so thank you for saying that. I mean, in a lot of ways Sweeney Todd has been infinitely easier because I'm starting with everyone else. Like, it's not like I was having to play like 35 years of catch up, and in 99 this is what so-and-so said, and you know, 2004, this is what so-and-so said. Like, you know, I'd sort of, the amount of information that Phantom, like that I was given at the beginning of Phantom, and that I sort of, I still didn't learn everything. Like, there was no way to know everything. It's literally impossible. Like, I feel like
I have it all written down if you need it.
Greg, maybe we can share some notes.
Do not open Pandora's book.
No, but yeah, I mean, you have the luxury of time, you know, with Sweeney, that you had time to like process stuff and, you know, things changed and you were there for all that. Whereas Phantom, it was like, this is what we got and here we go. And yeah, because I had those first like 2 weeks when we were in the studio with Emily mm-hmm. before everybody else even came. And, you know, you were there and that's when I first met you. And, you know, that had to have just been weird that, you know, here's a show that's already fully established and you're like, I gotta know this. But also it was probably nice that you were teaching a new Christine as well, so there was, you had a little bit more time like one-on-one, and things seemed a little bit slower when we first started up. And then once I think the whole cast came in, it was like kablammo.
Greg was my first Phantom, everyone, and Raul and everybody else.
Well, lucky
I know.
You.
I remember sitting. To say something that maybe is obvious or not obvious, I don't know. Phantom was like my first Broadway show. Like, I hadn't worked on Broadway before Phantom, and it's funny that it was maybe the hardest one. Like, as far as like amount of information, number of characters, like music.
Yeah, so
I just, I don't even know how that happened. I feel like I blacked out and then I woke up and I was working on Sweeney Todd. Like, I don't know what happened in between all of that time. So starting off, I felt like I was, a lot of it was like a mental game of like, I'm here now. This is what it is, you know? So it was really nice to have those first 2 weeks to be like, we're going to focus on one character for 2 weeks. And then yeah, once everyone else got there, I was like, oh man, this is no joke. When I got the job, my mom and I watched the 25th anniversary at the Royal Albert Hall version. She had never seen the show. And afterwards she was like, are you serious? this is what you have to learn? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. And not only that, 33 versions
of it
too. I mean,
truly, yeah. What a ride. What a blessing. What a ride that all was.
Yeah, if it gets worse than Phantom, it's not a job for you to take, basically. We started you off at a great bar. So anything above it is perfect.
Yeah. Like, with Sweeney, I mean, how many characters do I really need to know about? Like, 9? Not, like, 35? Yeah. I mean, is, you know, so it's just, it's going...
How big is the cast over there?
oh gosh, I'm going to butcher this. It's probably around, I to be honest, there's I don't know how many ensemble members there are. I think it's probably around 20 something okay. folks altogether.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a stage manager question because they've got the yeah. sign in sheet. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Especially with Sweeney, like anything to do with the ensemble is very like they call themselves Team Shapes. It's very much their realm. So my job is mostly like either ensemble members that have like some kind of feature or lines or something. And then, you know, the characters in the show. So it's easier because Phantom was kind of like everything all the time.
Yeah. 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 Really?
No
yeah.
kidding. Well, today we're talking about casting. We brought up the subject about casting because we were kind of rapping about the fact that Greg and I got into the show and we got on the show. We've been there for many years and casting has changed so much. I mean, to give you an idea, we've been there so long that the iPhone was invented and released in the time that we were in the show. It's like, I remember specifically I got in the show and then a year later, this black phone with no buttons or one button came out. We're like, wow, this is neat. And it has changed the world. It's changed our casting industry.
And we're on the 14th different version of that phone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. And September will be the 15th, mm-hmm. right? But it has changed our world in more ways than we expected because we now are basically our own casting directors. We have everything's digital. I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm finding it so frustrating that I have to be a television actor with my iPhone and all the gear in my house. I have like a blue screen
yeah.
and a halo light and a microphone. And I invented the craziest ways to tape these sides up around the halo lights so that I can get a reference point on whatever and some other freaking app that will play the other characters for me when nobody's answering the phone because they don't want to do another audition for me with the phone. They're like, oh, Jeremy's calling. Don't answer. He needs help. It's just, it's insane. I am not having fun at all with this.
I do appreciate, that in some of the like breakdowns or when you get an email about these self tapes, that some of the notes from the casting people are like, don't worry about the background or, you know, the setup. Don't worry about that. Just as long as there's, you know, a clear, you know, unbusy background and we can just see and hear you. That's, you know, and so that's kind of a little comforting because you always feel like
they're so lying.
I know. So right. Because then you see like other people and they're like, it's like professionally done. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
and then if you have the bad background, they immediately go, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing. We're not going to take them seriously.
They're not a professional actor.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they don't have a blue screen. Yeah. Well, we're gonna pay. Yeah.
It's actually kind of wild.
But it is different.
Like,
yeah.
Thing is wild. Like, I have a lot of friends that are actors, and like the amount of sort of like technological prowess and like video editing and lighting and all this stuff that goes into, you know, an audition for like dog food. Like, it's just, it's wild. It's insane. Like, the sort of expectation of what actors need to do and like the skills they have to have are, I think is new.
It's bananas. I had an audition last week. It was for a Sondheim show.
Is it
Sweeney? After 3 hours, no, it wasn't. No, I
had a Sweeney audition.
Welcome to
Mets. Well, I didn't get it.
I only had the... I had the first initial. I sent in a video, which probably I didn't have a background that probably got thrown away immediately. But no, it was for a Sondheim show, a different Sondheim show. And I really didn't know the show very well. So I'm sitting there trying to learn the wordiest song in my entire life. After the third hour on tape, I gave up and I called and I said, I can't put myself in a good light for the casting and this should not be done. Because I had 20 hours to get it out and there was just no way it was happening. At 7 o'clock at night on my third hour, I have to call this. They can pinch that kind of time because it's on video, and then we're allowed to basically take as many takes as we want. But I found it so frustrating because I wasn't even learning the sides because I'm sitting there trying to figure out a way to look great in the camera in a scene with three other people that don't exist on camera. And am I in the right space? And it was, I don't know. I find it very frustrating. I see why they do it, but it's just not the industry I was trained in. Were you, was this a part of your, I know, so Dally and I went to the same college. I guaranteed we didn't have the same education at that college, but we, I.
Zot, zot, zot. Where are my zotties at? Zot, zot,
zot. We're both graduates of the University of California, Irvine. Because the iPhone wasn't even invented when I was in college, this wasn't even a thing. We learned how to audition and we learned how to present ourselves in a room and walk into a room and wear the right clothes and choose the right audition song. And none of that exists right now. How was it for you? Were they teaching you this in school?
You were there? This was, I think that this started after I graduated. So I graduated in 2017. I'm aging myself right now. There was nothing like this. Like, and to be honest, I think that when I was in the program, it was a few years late. Like, I think that maybe they should have been talking about that a little bit more at that point. It wasn't mainstream at that point, but it kind of was going in that direction. I think the pandemic just really put that sort of thing into focus.
Boosted. Yeah,
I always wish.
Yeah, what is your experience?
I always wish that we had more like camera training at UC Irvine. Like, I think that would have helped later on for the self-tape stuff. But yeah,
for sure. I didn't know. It's this thing you have to anticipate you needing it, right? I think a lot of the students, myself included, I wanted to sing. I wanted to be on stage and sing, and camera was just, some people go after the camera because they want. It was legitimately because it pays more to do TV. So people were going after the TV stuff, but it's just not where my heart was. It's like, I don't want to learn camera.
An air about like, oh, you're doing film. You must not really love this. Like, you must not really be an actor. You know, there was like this sort of like theater arrogance air.
Oh, you like to pay for groceries. How weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill paying. That's not acting. Oh, man. What is your experience on the other side of the table with this new casting?
The first thing I'll say is I wish that every single actor could sit in on an in-person audition and watch like rounds of people come in, because it is, you learn so much. It's so interesting to like the people on the other side of the table, like, every person that comes in, I mean, you hear this a lot, but it's sort of like, I hope it's them. Like, everything inside of you is like, I hope that this person is great. Like, to the point where if something goes wrong, you're like, no, like, oh, gotta keep looking, you know? And I think there is a real, like, humanity on the other side that I think maybe doesn't come across because of the table, because of the feedback, because of, like, literally how things are sort of set up in the room just physically. Everyone wants everyone to do well. And as far as the new sort of technology side of thing goes, I think it's honestly like less, that humanity is cut a little bit, because one-on-one in the room with someone, like, it's just a person. There's no technology between you, right? Like, as long as they have their music and the pianist can play the song and they can sing the song, like, you get a sense of the person, right? But like on tape, it's like you see that person's home, or they're like, or like a background or something, and like also like, if they're not right, you can just immediately skip them. Like, there's another video to watch. So there's not like the sort of the like basic respect of like saying hello to someone, meeting them eye to eye,
right,
having them like actually sing their full cut of music, even if they're cut off in the room. Like, there's still something more there. We're like, I don't know. I get annoyed when I see these like long, long sides for actors that they have to learn all this stuff. It's like, no one's watching more than 30 seconds of this. Like 30 exactly. seconds is a lot too. Like imagine having to go through 100 tapes at 30 seconds each. Like it's a lot. Yeah.
Oh, I've had to learn seven scenes from a show, and you get in there and they have you, they're like, oh, pick one. And you do one and they're like, thank you. You're like, I just learned 55 pages of music and script, you know, and it happens. But I agree with, like, you know, walking in, I miss the walking in and saying hello and talking to people, and because they get to know you. And maybe at first they go, oh, I wouldn't have thought of this person for that. But then they talk to you, yeah. and they're like, oh my God, this person's great for this or yeah. that, or, you know, anything. And you make a connection. And I feel like we make these self tapes, and, you know, it's good. You can look at them and be like, oh, I'm going to try this again. And you get another take at it. And I think it gives you a chance to send out what you feel like is the best that you can feel, you know, happy with. But there's no connection. You're right. Somebody could just look through it and just see it as a thumbnail. They may not even blow it up to full screen. They're just seeing you as a thumbnail. And they'll just be like, oh, that's just not the right look we're looking for. And it gets nowhere. Whereas when you were in a room with somebody, you know, you communicate and you make some sort of bond that, you know, could lead to other things, other shows even.
It's like sending a resume out on LinkedIn.
What's LinkedIn?
It in garbage.
Yes, just kidding. Yes, versus like meeting someone in a social situation, or knowing someone, or having a connection to whatever this job is. Like, it's so right. there is like a level of being removed. To say this too, like the plus of self-tapes is like, all of a sudden, this is a plus and minus, right, for everyone, but like all of a sudden you don't have to be in New York City to submit. Like you don't have to be in LA and have to appear at an audition the next day. Like it sort of opens right. up the pool, right? Because you can sort of be anywhere or have any sort of access. But that comes with its own challenges too, right? So it's really a mixed bag.
But I agree with what you said about being in the room for auditions, how it's such a learning experience. Because, you know, way back many years ago, before I was in Phantom, I used to work at, I don't think it's even Chelsea Studios anymore, but I was, you know,
it's gone. Yeah.
I was a studio manager, and I, you know, met all the casting people. I would see all the actors come in, talk to them, see them preparing, see people stressing out. You know, and I was also an actor too. And there were several times I would be working at the studios and somebody would know me and they'd pull me into the room. You know, I always had my audition book with me and I'd go into the room and sing for somebody just because they knew me. But I was also, you know, I would be a monitor, an audition monitor, and I'd walk people in the rooms. They'd hire me for readers. And then when I, you know, I'd read with all these people that they knew me as the front desk guy, but then I got to know everybody. And it was just so cool to watch everybody audition and watch what they do and go, ooh, they were really rude when they left, or, you know what I mean? Sometimes people, they feel like they blew it and they shut down and they turn on everybody in the room. You're like, ooh, never do that. Or, you know, or they're just so charming. And you're like, they weren't right for that, but people loved them. And that happened too with, like, once I was in Phantom, they would bring me in. And I don't know, did they do this with you too, Jeremy, to like read with Christine's? Or I've read with Christine's. I read with the managers when we were looking for the new Fear Men, when Craig Bennett came in. So I came in and I was like Andre for him. You know, and I auditioned with lots of Christine's.
I never got to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Welch, you got to do that too.
Yeah. And I got to audition with for when we got Carl Moe as Piangi.
I love that.
I was in the room with a bunch of Piangis. Oh, it was so cool. It was just a great experience.
I miss Chelsea Studios so much because it was a place to people watch too. This is a side note, obviously, but it was so funny because you would be in there and I've been there where I came in a black shirt and khakis and I was in line with 15 other guys who are 6'3" in a black shirt and khakis going in for the thing. Or you would see the girls with the rolly bags coming in their tennis shoes and they change into their sundress and their character shoes. I'm like, they all live in Astoria. And it was just this whole thing. It was like a everybody had these different types and cliques, and there was the girl who makes friends with everybody in line, and there's the guy who's really serious and just want everybody to talk, and then there's the monitors who had the different attitudes. It was just
they give you such attitude. Oh my gosh,
such attitude.
You're like, don't talk to me like
some
that
of them were,
that's like, oh, who yeah are you guys, relax.
They just were drunk with power.
The one guy who was so amazing, he was awesome, and he always would he had his laminator with you, and he would laminate your equity card if you wanted it. His name, I think, Uriel.
Yes.
Uriel was his name. He was a great guy.
Is that a monitor or another actor?
Oh my god,
he was an actor, but he always monitored too. And he would normally he would normally sign his name up like at the bottom of the chorus call and try to get in at the end of the auditions. Really nice guy, but he always had his laminator. He'd laminate your equity card for
him. I mean, this is its own TV show, like people waiting in line for an audition.
Oh my god! Seriously, it was insane. The amount of personalities in one room, not to mention personalities that all are in theater, was fun to watch.
I saw some of the craziest things.
Room, oh, so good, just so good. People freaking out, and you just man, and everybody's nervous too. I remember being at Chelsea Studios, and I rode the elevator downstairs after an audition with Brooke Shields, because she had just been in there auditioning for like a Crest commercial or something, and she's spinning out of control in her mind, just like, I didn't do this well, and I didn't do that, and I think they hate me. I don't know if I got this. It was really, I'm looking at her going, it never ends.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Brooke Shields is wigging out. Like, she basically walked in the room, and they went, yep. But then she leaves and she's completely insecure. And at that moment, I knew that this is going to be a long road, this life.
I had one of the OG kids in the hall come in and audition for something. And I guess it didn't go well. And he came out and kicked one of our doors and like threw a fit and like stormed out. I was like, dang.
Wow.
It was wild. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's when I first met you, Jeremy. I don't know if we actually spoke.
Yeah,
you remember?
You.
Okay.
Absolutely remember. Yeah.
I was like, the ideal example of Gaston, because you were doing it everywhere in the world. And you'd walk in and there's Gaston again. And then I didn't know that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was, there was like four or five guys around the country, and we were just raking it in. We just got phone calls to do the show. Basically.
That's epic.
I was huge too. I had big arms. I was like in the gym, and that was it. That was my life. I was at the gym and at Gaston auditions. It was a good time. Oh man, can you imagine? I just had a thought. Can you imagine the old guys in the industry trying to audition today on their like flip razor phones, trying to film?
Oh my god!
Jeremy, though, like that's a good point. Like I think that this has sort of created like if you're not technologically savvy, you've sort of been cut out.
Oh.
Unless you have such a good relationship. Like, I think as an older person coming in, it might be very difficult.
Yeah.
I imagine.
That's tough.
It's such a weird industry. Have you ever had to audition on? Because I know you have some acting background. Yeah.
I've had to audition.
Have you ever had to audition on? On camera, like on our phones at home?
I have not done a self-tape but I mean, I've been to a lot of musical theater auditions. Once upon a time.
I do have to say, didn't you star in a very specific commercial not too long ago?
Oh,
weren't
yeah,
you
I remember
seen
that.
In
yeah.
a very high-profile Phantom of the Opera commercial?
Weren't you the cute young lady walking down the street?
I was theater goer. I was so I was very excited about that, but I was so grumpy because I would have worn a different outfit. Like it was in the moment. It was in the moment. The director. Yes. Yeah. The director was like, we're having extras come in, but you could probably do this. Right. And I was like, yeah. So it's me and Giselle like walking down the street, looking at the Phantom.
Oh, for anybody listening, we'll send a photo on the Pod of No Return on Instagram. We'll make a photo screenshot of Dahlia in her in her greatest role in her life?
Definitely the most complicated.
To date.
Most complicated role to date. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually, the funny thing about my job as like a resident or associate is like, I kind of have to play every character like in rehearsals with new people. And it's really that way at Sweeney Todd. Like it's just, I've been in Sweeney Todd twice. Once was in high school and the other time was in college. And saying the lines that I've said, like at such a different time period, I have like an out of body experience. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, who am I? What's going on? What year is it? Where am I standing? Who am I talking to? Like, it's very strange.
I transform. Yes. Oh man. So you've been on the other side of the table during casting. Have you been to the last moment where everybody's sitting around the table and pitching for who they want as the part and arguing over who should get it and what the cast should be like?
Yes. Yes, I have. So that's kind of the best part, because usually there's like someone that's obvious. Like usually there's someone that like everyone mm-hmm. agrees with. And what is it about that person? Like they just, casting is so, it's so like, it feels so simple sometimes because like people come in and it's like, oh, they're obviously the role. Like they can do it. There's no problem. And it's true what they say about like, I don't know, directors or casting people being sort of like not creative as far as like how they're casting because they just want an easy thing. Like it sort of makes everyone's job down the line easier. Like you're not putting then the associate in a position where they're having to rehearse someone in that like is different from everyone else. So that sort of, you know, do you know what I mean? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yes.
And I also wonder, like, thinking about that too, like the in-person versus these video submissions too. Like when it does come to like when you hire somebody, I think back when there was more in-person auditioning, you said, well, that's somebody I know is going to be nice or fun to work with. Like you get a sense of if that person's going to be trouble to work with, possibly. And I think with these self-tapes, you don't get that sense. So sometimes it may have to come down to, well, I know this person and I know they're good to work with, that they're not going to give any trouble. But I don't know. I wonder if that's an issue, like not really getting to see somebody in person or meet them to see if that's going to be somebody you want to work with, if that plays into it.
Well,
you can end up with a real wild card, like you accidentally cast a Jeremy Stoll in your
Yikes.
Show.
And
Yikes,
really,
Rooney.
We just stole that up.
Well, usually, like, I think it's rare that people get cast only through a self-tape. Like, usually there's a callback that's in person. That's not true with my friend, Anita. She got cast as an understudy in POTUS just through a self-tape. I'm just hyping her up right now. I think there was more room there, right? Like if she's an offstage understudy, like there's some room, you know, to like work with this person as opposed to someone that's just coming in and like you expect them to be sort of on it immediately. So, I mean, yeah, that is an aspect of it. As far as like the moment before you're picking someone, I said the thing about like usually there's like an obvious choice versus like there's always someone that like everyone wants to do it. It's like, oh, so-and-so would be almost so good, but this person's perfect, you know? And so there's always that person that I think sticks in everyone's minds. Like, oh, maybe next time. Maybe they'll play another role and come back and like be more right for the part. So it's not as like black and white as maybe like casting seems. Like you either one get the job or you don't. But I think there's a lot of room for like good impressions and being like, oh, actually they're really talented. They took direction very well. They would be great for this part in another show I'm doing. Like this industry is so connected in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we Greg and I had this idea to show the audience how difficult casting is by doing a casting session. So we've called you here. We're going to do a casting session. We're going to cast the Phantom of the Opera, the next Phantom of the Opera that's going to come out in 4 weeks from now. the new American tour. So we've already had a casting session with the Jim Henson's Muppets, and now we have to piece together our cast. So we were hoping that you would join us in putting the right person to the right part for the next cast of Phantom of the Opera starring the
I've Muppets. Been training for this my whole life.
And I know it may have been done before. Someone has probably put this Muppet together, but not like this, not in the correct way. So this we're going to do this the right way.
So let's just go down in
order. It's time to play the music.
It's
time to light the lights.
This is really
it's time to get things started.
I really miss working on Phantom. I just need to say that.
On the Pot of No Return tonight. Dun 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 dun.
That's right. Oh, all right. Well, casting agents, we have a problem here. We've got a lot of people that have came into this audition, and we need to cast this tour because they need to get this tour on the Americas in the next 3.5 weeks. We're going to give them 3 days to learn the show, and then the set will be built in 45 minutes, and it will be on the road. But we need to start with casting, and the first character is going to be, I think, the hardest, which is the title of the show. Now, based on all of the characters in the Muppets, who is your ideal Phantom? Dahlia.
Gonzo.
Yes! Gonzo?
Yes!
It feels...
That's
what
I think.
Feels
Explain.
Obvious. It feels
Explain
obvious.
Explain yourself.
Like he's like a performer or whatever, and like he has a nice suit on, and but he's like not that good. Like he's kind of violent. Like
he wears a cape sometimes.
I mean, it just seems obvious.
Super Gonzo,
baby. He's
got
the swagger. And also I feel like if you messed up like one part of him, he would completely fall apart. Like he's being held together by literally scotch tape.
I feel differently, actually. I find Gonzo to be the perfect Madame Giry. Because he comes with Camilla, the chicken, as Meg, and all of the ballerinas are all of the chickens.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. I feel Gonzo would be a perfect Madame Giry. Also, he would interrupt. It would be perfect. And for the Phantom, I actually think that Pepe the King Prawn would be the greatest thing I've ever seen. He's like, I mean, I could imagine him like, you don't know who I am. Look in the mirror, okay? You know, just absolutely trying to be anonymous, but you know exactly who he is because his accent and his demeanor is just completely
I had Pepe as Andre.
Pepe as Andre. Oh, interesting. We'll get to that. I have a feeling that Greg and I have the same on Andre.
I have Pepe as the slave master.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. You're the smallest little person.
The little King Prawn walking around with the whip.
I would watch that.
I'm with you with Gonzo as the Phantom. Okay. I see Gonzo as the Phantom.
Are you serious?
It's 2-1 here, Jeremy. Right, this is real. It's cutthroat.
I mean, I know in that there's a book where the Uncle Deadly is the Phantom. He's like that dragon, scary looking monster.
Yeah,
I could go that way
scary.
Too, but he's not. You know, I'm thinking the big names that we know, and I think Gonzo, but.
I'm going to have to argue with you guys. I think so now we've got to vote for Rolf as the Phantom, but I think Rolf is Raye.
Yes, I agree there.
Rolf is Raye.
He plays piano.
He plays
the piano.
Yeah, he plays piano. He's a mess.
I had Scooter as Raye. Like, I don't know why. I feel like Raye is sort of like a Nepo baby. Like, there's just something going on. He's way too stressed.
Well, Scooter, yeah, Scooter's a stage manager too.
Exactly.
So.
Scooter is the stage manager.
He's
so yes.
Stressed.
I think he should
he's
be the
like
stage
trying
manager.
To prove something. Like there's something there.
Yeah.
Well, let's pin this. Let's move on to the girl because maybe the girl will decide what the guy is. Who is Christine Daae?
Greg, you go first.
Dahlia. Oh, yeah. Me? Well, I mean, it's a stretch because you have to dig into the new people. And Jeremy, we talked about this before, but I think Christine has to be Denise.
Which one's Denise?
She's in the newer Muppets. She's Kermit's like new girlfriend.
The new girlfriend.
She's like the younger Miss Piggy. But yeah, Joyce says, but they broke up. But you know,
but they
it's
broke
a tough
up.
Relationship.
But that's life.
That's life, man. Yeah, love never dies.
You can be with your ex-girlfriend. Right?
I have a different argument for this. Okay. So can we just do the most obvious casting of all time first, which is Carlotta as Miss Piggy?
That's unanimous.
Okay,
I'm sure of it.
So, starting as that is that. I think Christine is Piggy Sue. She comes in, she's trying to be the new performer, and Carlotta's like, "Who? Who's this?"
I don't know Piggy Sue.
That's not a bad idea. I was thinking Janice because she's so doe-eyed and absolutely not. She is just not with it. She's like, oh my God, you want me to sing this song? Okay. I have a feeling that she would be an absolute mess to direct, and you would just be thinking, why her? Why her? And then at the end, she would come through for us, kind of thing. But I'm kind of gonna lean with you there.
Oh wait, Dally, so I had to Google it because I didn't know who that was. Is it Annie Sue Pig? It's Annie Sue. She's a young female pig singer on the Muppet Show.
Maybe I just got her.
Is that who it is?
Sure, maybe. But yeah, she's like a chorus person, and then like whatever. She's like trying to get in.
She's got like nice blonde hair.
Yeah, she's got big hair.
For a pig.
For a pig. I mean. Oh, I like this.
Oh,
but,
I didn't
and there's
know
also
about
the
her.
Because the Carlotta and the Christine have the similarities. This is really good ideas.
I like it.
This is Nuke. We've been playing this game backstage for a solid 10 years, and this is this is a very, very new idea, and I'm all about it.
So, happy to be here.
Now, well, thank you. This is why we brought the professionals in. This is very serious stuff we're doing
right now.
You know this, right?
I wouldn't have even seen Annie Piggy Sue's audition tape without you. So thank you.
Yeah. But see, she got a chance in the room now.
That's right.
Exactly, because someone knew her. This is how
ordinarily
this works.
We would just swipe
someone
left.
Someone knew who she was. Get out there, everyone. Meet people.
That's right.
There you go. And what about Raul? And for those who don't know, it's not Raul, it's Raul. They're very specific.
Jeremy, you're gonna go first on this one.
All right. Well, I think the most obvious, and Joyce agrees with me here, and it Kermit would be the most
obvious. The most obvious.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Good.
Yep. That's easy.
He's our guy. He's our leader.
He's doing too much. It's him.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
No more talk of darkness. Yeah.
So we have Carlotta and we have Raul as definites. Now, okay. So here we go. Let's get a little, let's do the opera owners, Fairmont and Andre. Now, for years and years and years, the cast, we've kind of all agreed that it should be the two guys in the opera box is Waldorf and Statler.
Statler.
Statler and Waldorf. Yeah, so Joyce is also thinking the same thing. So you're shaking your head because we're on video here as you are not on the podcast. But Dahlia, what is your argument?
So if we're talking about the whole Phantom universe, I've actually always thought of Seth and I as Statler and Waldorf.
The okay.
No reaction to this.
Yeah. Well, I think that guy's great. No, he's terrible. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
Mean,
oh, boo.
I just think that if we're talking about the Majestic Theater, that is the most.
No.
So
that's a very.
So they would be
thing.
Outside of the show, and giving like notes and comments about the actual performers.
They'd be kicking it with Scooter, the stage
manager. Which I could see, which opens up something for me for casting. I like that.
We can all disagree. I was, to be honest, I was expecting a bigger reaction to this, but it's okay.
We had to soak that in for a second.
I was unprepared.
It was shocking. It was so outside of the world. That being said, I think that Andre is Pepe, and then Fearman is Sam the Eagle.
Oh, those are great choices. Mm-hmm. Sam is such a little, yeah. I mean, personality-wise,
We can disagree here. This is a perspective from off of the stage. So
that is not a terrible casting choice, honestly. It's
good because
I
think that's good because I find them both to be more. They're both more like two Fearmans. Mm. So I was like, do you have them both be like a Fearman, and then you throw like Fozzie Bear in as Andre, because I could see him coming out for the like the Il Muto panic, you know, the in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, waka waka, you know, doing his whole shtick mm-hmm. there.
What's fun about it is that one is small and one is large, one is Pepe, and one is very stern. You've got all the opposites, right? All the boxes checked. That's interesting.
Just to be clear, is the other ahead. Opinion that it should be Statler and Waldorf? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, I think that's probably what you would first think, just because they're sitting up in the opera box and commenting. But you know, again, not one of them is very as much Andre like. But I like the option of having them be, you know, the artistic voices in the house commenting outside of the show. Then that opens up for more characters. For
I want you to sing Hannibal, okay?
Because I thought Sam the Eagle for the auctioneer and Donatello, because you need that voice. But
you do. Well, let's put a pin in that.
I know I brought up something controversial. So, you know, I just kind of.
No, you brought in a new idea.
We've Phantom Muppet world.
Yeah. We've been casting Curly in Oklahoma the same way for 10 years. You know, it's like, this is very good.
Here we are. Good.
You're nice little. Nice little change in our opinions here. I'm loving it. So let's move on to Madame Giry. Now, I've already put in my vote, which has been apparently that's just a no.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Because Madame Giry comes with the ensemble of ballerinas and Meg. So she's a part of a whole group of the show. That's all I'm saying. Who is a Madame Giry for you guys?
I actually don't have anyone for this. I thought this was very difficult.
Oh.
So I had Janice. I had Janice as Madame Giry.
I'm like, oh my God, are you going to come to rehearsal or what? Oh man, Camila the chicken is Joyce's vote. Camila. But
see, I had her as Meg.
Yeah, I feel like she's a Meg.
Wait,
she's
can I give my Meg vote?
Okay. Are you going to say Pepe the Prawn again?
Rizzo the Rat.
Rizzo the Rat? As
I had him as a possible bouquet, but I could see.
There aren't enough women Muppets. That's not my fault.
There really aren't. Yeah, I think that they've realized that in the recent years. Disney and Jim Henson both realized that they have their man heavy and have been really trying to rectify that. But yeah.
So as a Christine alternate, I had
alternate. I didn't think
I had Camilla the chicken. So
So she's the mirror bride.
Well, I was gonna say I understand why she would be Meg. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a bad choice for Meg. I'm saying, because that's my vote. So
I agree with you, Jeremy.
But so nobody has a Madame Giry.
I mean, I just said Janice, but Janice was the only one I could think of.
I'm down with Janice.
But
She's tall. She's got the look.
Is there a male character that could play Madame Giry? Can we do modern casting on
this? Well, you could have Sam the Eagle as Madame Giry. That'd be stern.
What? That is a very good attitude for that. But Deadly, says Joyce.
Deadly? Oh, Uncle Deadly?
Deadly?
Uncle Deadly, probably.
Oh. Yeah.
Dr. Bunsen?
Huh. No. No. All right. Well, okay. So just for the interest of not having
I'm going to go with Dr. Bunsen on this one. For Madame Giry. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Give me your argument.
I just had a vibe. I had a feeling.
But now if you do that, are you going to have Beaker as Meg?
I mean, maybe.
Oh, Beaker. We can use Beaker for so many things.
Let's put a pin in Madame Giry.
All right. Let's put a pin in her. So let's move on to... So we're getting into more fun and smaller characters. I would love to go for the Auctioneer.
Oh, wait, hang on. You missed one other big one.
What's Pianji.
Ubaldo Pianji.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Pianji. Oh, Pianji.
Pianji Fozzie Bear. Done.
Fozzie Bear. Well, Joyce is all about that. I don't hate that option.
I don't hate it.
I feel like I'm being really controversial.
No, you're great.
No, not at all.
Very good. You're making us think outside the box. You're going to be a great associate and resident director.
I was thinking a little deeper, a little deeper with it. I was thinking the Swedish chef for Pianji.
That's good. I agree, but I thought I was saving the Swedish chef for the auctioneer.
You know,
tick, 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 the boom, boom, patipi, like the
perpetu. First, you take the monkey, here the monkey. And
I think.
Or the auctioneer could be Beaker because he, as soon as he lights it up, he explodes and then the chandelier does nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God. Who's the doctor guy? What's his name?
Dr. Bunsen?
The one that hangs out with Bunsen. Beaker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Bunsen.
Bunsen, yeah.
Can Crazy Harry be the auctioneer? He's like...
Or Crazy Harry, yeah.
Which...
Or Animal.
He could be the auctioneer. That's not Animal.
He's a pyrotechnic guy. He like, you know, does the lights.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's the Phantom, which really throws everything out, but
he's the guy that always carries the bomb around? Who's the one that's him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him.
The old school bomb with the like the bowling ball style.
Yeah.
So Ubaldo Pianji. All right. Swedish chef, glorious idea. I would take that as the best option thus far.
I could see I could see Fozzie Bear too, though. I will accept that.
Fozzie Bear, yeah. Oh, okay. Should we vote on it?
But I also see Fozzie as a Lefebvre.
Ooh.
A Lefebvre and Passerino, yeah. But because he's funny.
Now Passerino needs to be the best one, obviously.
I had the.
He needs to be.
I had the Swedish chef as Lefebvre.
Also good.
As Lefebvre.
Yeah. Like someone say, if you need me, I'll be in Frankfurt as the Swedish chef.
If you need me, I shall be in Frankfurt.
Oh, man. Wait, what is the Muppet? What's the Muppet that's like the magician with the fish all the time?
The big mustache. What's his name? God, what is his name?
Just one of those really great but side character guys. Darn it.
We'll get back to that.
By the way, is the orchestra the Electric Mayhem? Is like Dr. Teeth going to be the?
Oh, that's Lou Zealand.
That's
the guy with the fish.
Lou Zealand, thank you. Is Dr. Teeth going to be the conductor? Yeah.
I thought about that. Or they could be Little Band and Masquerade.
Or Little Bow. Yes. On stage.
Just Animal with his drum going around. Not Animal! Masquerade!
And Janice. Well, we have Janice for something. I was like, she can hold the bass instead of, Oh, my God. Oh. All right. So we've got, I guess, Ubaldo's almost done. Joseph Bouquet.
That's a tough one. Yeah. I looked down one I didn't know who he was before, but there's a Muppet called Beauregard, who was a janitor. And he's like
Beauregard the janitor?
Yeah, he's like a sloppy looking guy that walks around with a broom all the time. I thought, wow.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. The obvious choice was Animal because he's just kind of crazy. Like Joyce is
You got an eyebrow from Joyce.
Camera giving me I got the highbrow, Joseph Bouquet, what's going on? I could just see him singing, please, monsieur, don't look at me.
I could see it as Rizzo the Rat, too, though.
Oh, yeah. Beauregard? Oh,
yeah. Interesting. You have to Google that one.
Are we going to double cast people?
I know, right?
I mean, there's an ensemble. There's an ensemble. Like, we don't have infinite actors.
You got to have swings. Yeah, you have to have a swing. Understudies.
People play different people.
That's right.
Who's... All right, so we did Raye, right? Bouquet. Lefebvre. Auctioneer. Passerino.
Who is Passerino?
You said it's got to be the greatest of the actors of all.
Yeah, hello.
And why is that, gentlemen?
Passerino could be that.
just because it's such a pivotal part in the Phantom of the Opera. Dr.
Strangeport.
Really, if he doesn't show up, can't.
Dr. Strangeport.
Don't hate that.
I gotta Google that.
There were some fun characters in Muppets in Space. I love that movie, by the way. Shoot.
Yes.
This is funny. Joyce, hit us up. Oh, she says the understudy for the Phantom is Link Hogthrob. I don't hate that. I'm down with that at all. I love that you want to cast understudies. That is cracking.
Pigs in space.
There's like a special fan club for Link Hogthrob as Phantom. Like people come specifically to see him.
Really?
Serious?
Yeah.
I'm into it. Janice Zoot. Which one was Zoot?
Zoot.
Or Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. I think we... remind me, do we assign him something?
No, not really.
No. Did we throw him in for Jiri?
Oh, Zoot is the sax player.
Dr. Bunsen, sorry. I'm just getting all out of whack.
Yeah, you had mentioned possibly him as Jiri would be funny. But we didn't.
New Zealand.
That was another put a pin in it.
Oh, you guys.
What did we miss?
Sweetums.
Sweetums?
Sweetums, the giant guy. With the big flappy mouth, the big hairy giant 6'9"
Passerino?
Muppet. This
Passerino.
Sweetums. No, for I'm sorry. I see that you're not in my head with me. That's terrible. I'm sorry. No, for like Bouquet.
That'd be good too. Yeah.
He comes out, he's my vote.
He could also be the elephant.
Oh, God.
My brain hurts.
My brain hurts. That just killed me.
Yeah, that's like I want to give up casting now. Which one was Crazy Harry, by the way? Anybody know which Crazy Harry, which Muppet that was?
Mm-mm. No,
nobody knows. All right. So let's go back. Let's go back. All right. The Phantom. Who do we?
Oh, Crazy Harry would be Gonzo, good. Huh? Oh, Crazy Harry was the explosive dude.
That's crazy. Ah, got it.
Yeah, Crazy Harry's. So the, well, he's got some he's pyro thing.
So the Phantom we decided is going to be Gonzo, right?
People are.
This is the first draft, obviously.
I'm down with
it. Before we give offers and they decide if they're gonna if they're gonna take the show.
People are already in line to see Gonzo as Phantom.
All right. Well, there you go. So Christine Daae.
I liked what you said that Annie the Pig or Piggy Sue, whatever her name is.
Done.
I like that.
Raoul is going to be
Kermit.
Obviously, Kermit. And Meg is going to be.
Oof.
I like.
We threw a couple pins in that.
I like the Chicken, but I'm okay with it not being her.
Yeah, I liked Camilla for Meg.
Joyce. All right, well, that's two. Joyce. Oh, Joyce is a Camilla, too. So that's 3 out of 4. So my vote doesn't even count. So let's just, we'll go with that. Now we have Madame Giry, which is the largest pin we've had to date, right? Should we make up a Muppet as Madame Giry? Should it be, or can it be, can we make this the wild card cast? This one is just like the unusual person where we didn't have enough people show up. So we're going to give this to the local and the local can be some crazy character like Dr. Honeydew or Beaker.
We could do a fan, like a fan pool or something. Pick which one they like or something.
I think, you know what, that Greg, that's a great idea. What we're going to do is we are going to make Madame Giry the Pot of No Return vote.
Yep.
So please, as you're listening to this, go to Pot of No Return on Instagram. And in our link, there will be a little link that will allow you to vote for your favorite Muppet as Madame Giry. Please do that now. Okay. And we will, on the next episode, we will talk about who people thought, and that is a great idea. All right, so Madame Giry, now we've got our managers. Managers are going to be Pepe and
Miss
Fairman. Oh, Pepe and Eagle.
Yeah,
right?
I had Sam the Eagle, but those were my picks. I don't know if we actually voted. Yeah.
No, I'm up for okay. it. I'm up for it. I think this is a great first draft choice.
It's a good time for experimental casting. Yes.
It really is. It really is. Ubaldo Pianji. Definitely Swedish Chef. It's really not a bad idea.
It makes me laugh. Just,
yeah, because he has to kind of stop the show a little bit, and so we have to kind of kick him off to move on, so it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
So Joseph Bouquet. Anybody... Sweetums? Well, that's two for Sweetums.
I'm good with that.
And it great, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dahlia? You could go Crazy Harry with that too, but
sorry, my computer
but I think,
my computer right. freaked out and started being really loud. Who is this for?
Oh, got you. Well, tell your computer to apologize
I'm
to
sorry.
Us. Gosh darn.
Who is this for?
I'm sorry. No, we're doing
Joseph
Bouquet. Oh, got it.
I said Sweetums. Joyce was into
my
Sweetums.
My vote was for Beauregard, Greg is on the but fence, I'm but... okay with Sweetums.
Oh,
Beauregard. Yeah. I'm good with Sweetums. Right.
So we'll put a
and we can do since
an asterisk next.
We
to that
can
one.
Have we can have Beauregard as like an extra stagehand because it's the Paris Opera House. They need more than one, so he could be an assistant.
Oh, that's
stage
true.
Hand also.
Yeah, we'll do the Vegas version where they've got more cast.
Yeah.
All right, so Michurie. Is that Fozzie?
I thought that or Rolf, because he plays the piano.
Oh, Rolf. Rolf, it was Rolf, sorry.
Or you yes, could, Rolf. I mean, you could, just to cast more people, just have Rolf on the piano, but still have Fozzie as Ray. Because Fozzie's got to do something. He's got to have a speaking part.
Yeah.
Maybe he can be the conductor. Maybe Fozzie's the conductor of the whole thing.
Wait, like the Jeremy Stoll conductor, or like
No, like the
no, like the
David Caddick.
Yeah, yeah, David like Caddick.
Caddick. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like he's the right. one in charge of the orchestra, which is going to be right. delightful. That way, we can use the Electric Mayhem as the little band, which is also a genius idea, Greg. Now let's go to our bouquet. So Monsieur Reyes, we've got Lefebvre. Now Lefebvre, if you're not really familiar with Phantom, is the opera manager who sells the opera, who leaves and sells the opera off to the new managers.
The only person right that gets out not traumatized. Yes.
Yes, that's correct. But slightly traumatized.
And will he double as the fire chief as well?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Let's.
Are the doors secure? Yeah. Who did we come up for, Lefebvre?
I don't think we got there.
Oh,
see, I had Fozzie there, but
I had this Fozzie would be great. Chef for Lefebvre, so I think we should do Fozzie.
Although you could have Link Hogthrob there and be a Phantom understudy.
Yeah, we could do that.
If you need me, I shall be in space.
Yeah, okay, so you got a full clap and a jump from Joyce.
That's,
so that's
a go.
That's nice. That's a go. The Auctioneer. This was the one where we had so many great ideas. Is it Beaker? Is it there's two for Beaker now.
I like Crazy Harry because he's a pyrotechnic guy.
Crazy Harry.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that's two and two. Oh, interesting. Interesting. So
I had originally said Sam the Eagle, but I think I will move to Crazy Harry because to see him instead of having the gavel to lift up the thing on the explosive and jack and then push it down and the whole place blows up, I think is visually good.
Oh my god. All right, so good. So what we'll do is we'll pin both of those in, and one of them will be the porter that reveals the chandelier, and one of them will be the auctioneer. That way they're both involved with the explosion in some sort.
Maybe they can do like the two male dancers in the show, how they switch off. Maybe they could do that.
Mm.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And now the absolute most important thing in the show, which is pivotal character of Passerino. Whew. Who is the most handsome Muppet? Who is the most talented?
Wait,
best actor, singer.
We could do like the true Muppet way, where they have one real
guest,
person,
human guest,
and it's the biggest star we know, Jeremy Stahl.
Oh my god! And or Greg Mills. Well, or we can be a dual cast, and you do some performances, and I do some. That's what we're doing. That's it. That is it. We have cast this. Kind of.
kind of.
Perfect. All right. So I think we're kind of out of time here.
Can I cast one more person?
Of course.
Please.
Laughing Man.
Oh, right.
Oh, the Carrington part.
Ralph the dog.
He does have a good laugh.
We're going to put Ralph as the Laughing Man. That's
Laughing dog.
I'm into
laughing
it.
Dog.
Laughing dog.
I'll stop now. Thank
That's
you.
That's a great idea. Done. Perfect.
No, that was right, great. So, are you Statler or are you Waldorf? Who just gave us that?
Oh.
Yeah. Which one are you?
No, you got to pick. I don't know if I would know the difference, actually.
It's hard because they're both grumpy.
I don't
grumpy,
know.
A
I don't
little
know.
Bit. But it's kind of not in
I
your personality.
Know.
Oh. You're just a team. You're both anonymous.
Yes.
But the same. Gotcha. Well, Dahlia, thank you so much for joining us today on the Pod of No Return in our casting adventure, talking about the trials and tribulations of it, and then trying to go through a casting process. It has been eye-opening for me, I will tell you.
And I hope we can come over and catch you, see you when we come see Sweeney Todd or something.
Please, tell me when you're there. Yeah. Tell me when you're there. I'll say hi. Thank you for having me.
So can we come over to Sweeney Todd when you're giving notes? Like, we just stand behind you and watch you just write things about people, and then we'll and then we'll post
you
them
guys or, can join you can we'll join the Statler Waldorf crew in the audience. Yes.
Yes. Boo! Ah, they're terrible. Oh my gosh, that's great. All right, well, you have a great day. Have a great week. I wish the best for you and your show. I know you guys are starting to train your vacation swings, and some of the vacation swings are now phantom family, and that's wonderful. And I hope that you guys really have the best time, and I wish you the best success on that show. And I hope to see your face on the Tonys, because that you guys have killed the world and win lots of awards and can stay and be employed for a long time.
Thank you so much. I miss you both dearly. Hope to see you soon in person. You.
Well, with that, this is Jeremy.
And this is Greg.
And we're signing off until next week. Thank you for listening.
I should be in Frankfurt, okay?